This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Right now on The Fan in New York, KM to AM, my guy, Zach Rosenblatt, who covers the Jets for The Athletic. Zach, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. What's up, Keith?
Hey, good to hear from you again. Hope all is well. Aaron Rodgers is the song that doesn't end, and it actually did end. It is over. That era is over. What were your initial thoughts when you found out that the Jets were done? They were moving on, that this actually wasn't something they were going to go back on with this new regime?
You know, I kind of been saying I didn't think he was going to come back since before Aaron Glenn was hired, but I think once you heard everything Aaron Glenn had to say at his press conference, you know, even his comments about Aaron, where he said this isn't about Aaron, and kind of just emphasizing that it's a team, it's not about one guy. Like, I think that all was pointing towards this. I think they were, like, open to considering bringing him back under the right conditions, but, you know, I think those conditions were things he wasn't going to be excited about. Things like, you have to come to mentor minicamp, you have to stop going to McAfee every week. And I don't know that he was ready to commit to those things. And even if he was, they might still not have wanted to bring him back. So this is the right direction, ultimately, for a team that's trying to rebuild at least their culture. And, you know, there's financial implications where it would have cost you more down the line if you brought him back now. And I don't think that at 42, he's going to be worth that.
Yeah, I understand the cap hit. I understand kind of ripping the Band-Aid off right now. How much do you know about the thought that, you know, in this whole search for a GM and head coach, I'm sure the question was floated out to all of the candidates about bringing Aaron Rodgers back. How much do you know about, you know, other candidates suggesting that they move on? There's a little bit of a rumor that other candidates would have followed suit.
Yeah, I mean, they talked to a lot of candidates, so I can't say for sure like what every single one said, but I do get the vibe that there were a decent amount of them that were more leaning towards the side of they'd prefer not to bring him back, and I know that they did. That was a topic of conversation in these interviews, you know. But ultimately, Woody, to his credit, was going to let the GM and the head coach kind of make the decision, and they made the decision that they didn't want him back. I think if Woody had his druthers, he wouldn't have wanted him back either. Ultimately, just because on the way things played out last season and the way Aaron was kind of taking shots at Woody and, you know, making jokes about his son and things like that. That's why I was always leaning more towards them having a divorce. And Aaron might have wanted that anyway. I don't know how happy he was with the ownership group and stuff like that. So. Ultimately, this is a divorce that is probably best for both parties. And now the question is whether another team is going to be willing to take on Aaron and all that comes with them.
Yeah, there's a lot of people leaning into this being a Woody Johnson decision. I don't believe it's a Woody Johnson decision alone. I think this is very much an Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji decision, because at the press conference, Woody said, you know, when he was asked point blank, he said, I hired these guys, like, I'll let them make that decision. And I think ultimately the biggest thing is they watched the film, right? I said this, you know, about Aaron Rodgers. He had enough on film. The eye in the sky doesn't lie. He had enough on film that was more bad than good. He's 41 years old. And if they really are just evaluating the roster, player by player and comb through every single play, I think that was enough to move on from him. But then once you have the conversation with him, and obviously there's some grace for a Hall of Famer, right? But once you have the conversation with him and he seems like he's not trying to budge at all, the things like the Pat McAfee show and training camp came out today. What can you tell us about the conversation around his appearances and then also around, you know, mandatory minicamp?
Yeah, like I said, I think that was something that they presented to him. Like, look, if you're going to come back, you know, it's going to be different. You know, you're not on an island by yourself. You're one of 53 players. And I don't, you know, a part of that is, you know, he values his time on the Pat McAfee show, and he likes the ability to go on a trip to Egypt in the middle of minicamp and things like that. So they pretty much, you know, made it clear that wasn't going to be the case if they were even to bring him back. And if he was willing to agree to those things, then they would consider it and things like that. And ultimately, I get the impression that he wasn't willing to do that, maybe. I don't know that for sure, but that's, I mean, they wouldn't have told him he wasn't coming back that quickly, I think, if he was more willing to, you know, change his opinion. I don't think he went into those meetings thinking that's how it was going to go. I think it was going to be more of a conversation about, you know, what their relationship might look like and things that he thinks need to change and things like that. But what it turned into was more of what we just described.
Yeah, more like procedural, more just like a hard stance and some rules laid down. And I don't mind it. I think it's the right way to go. I talked about, you know, him being on Pat McAfee is a distraction. He is someone that said that the Jets needed to eliminate the distractions and things like that in the building. Him having a Netflix show and showing his ayahuasca retreats and, you know, always going on Pat McAfee to attack people that were vaccinated and promoting the ayahuasca. I just felt like it was like, okay, you know, we understand that's who you are, but if you are a part of this team, you got to leave that in the past. And he's got more years on Pat McAfee than he does in the NFL, so I understand that. He doesn't need the money. I don't think it was like, hey, this is a paid appearance, I don't want to quit that. I think it was just a power struggle thing. Like, I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm 41 years old, this is what I want to do, and at this point in my career, like, I don't have to, you know, fall in line for you, a first-time head coach. And then that brings me to my next thing. I thought it was going to be an X's and O's thing. I thought it was going to be, all right, this is a first-time offensive coordinator, this is a first-time play caller, with Tanner Engstrand. What do you think about the style that Tanner is going to bring from Detroit and where we'll be going with the next quarterback? Like, what do you think they'll be looking for? Because I don't think Aaron Rodgers and the style of quarterbacking that we saw him play this year fits with what we've seen Jared Goff do the last couple of years.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if he goes along with the way it was in Detroit, then, I mean, it'll be a lot of, you know, motion. It'll be a lot of, you know, I think they'll be really lean on the running game, and the quarterback ultimately would need to be more of a game manager than someone that really takes over. I think they've done a really good job of making it so Jared Goff just has to stay within the scheme and within the system. And I think Tanner, from what I hear, he's in that same breath. You know, he's someone who's really just been at Ben Johnson's hip the last couple of years learning from him. And that's one of the more innovative play callers in the NFL. And, you know, I've heard nothing but positive reviews from Tanner. And I think for a first time OC, I don't know that it's particularly appealing having someone like Aaron Rodgers, who likes to dictate everything he's doing at the line of scrimmage, and he likes to run things his way. And ultimately, that's just not what it's going to be with this new regime. And I think a different quarterback will allow someone like Tanner Engstrand to be more creative, depending on who the quarterback is and if they can handle that sort of thing. And I think they're going to seek to find somebody who can do that, whether it's Tyrod Taylor, if they believe he can, or if they go out and get somebody else out there that's a veteran or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, Tyrod obviously being on you know, under contract and already there makes sense. I've been telling people, you know, don't float Jordan Travis to me yet. Like, we can have that conversation in camp. It's just not a realistic thing. But now people are throwing out the Justin Fields of the world. I also don't think Sam Darnold has any legs to come back. I definitely don't want to hear any Zach Wilson. But I am slightly interested in Kirk Cousins, only because Kirk Cousins, you know, he'll be another year removed from the Achilles injury. Kirk Cousins down there with the Falcons running out of the shotgun versus running play action, he may be more inclined to be in an offense where they're going to lean on Breece Hall, Braylon Allen, Isaiah Davis, you know, the running game and try and set up play action. I think he'll be more inclined to potentially work with the Jets that way. What do you think about these guys and the names that are floating out there outside of Tyrod, but these potential free agent quarterbacks that the Jets could go after?
Yeah, you know, I think that Kirk is one that I think will be on the list of consideration. I think he'll get interest elsewhere too. Derek Carr's name I would have my eye on if he doesn't stick around in New Orleans. Justin Fields. Ultimately, it's not like the most appealing class of quarterbacks unless somebody, you know, both breaks free and would be under consideration, like would want to play for the Jets. You know, someone like Matthew Stafford, depending on that situation goes, he'd be appealing because I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL still. Kyler Murray, somebody I'd be interested in if the Cardinals were willing to move him for the right price. He's still young. I don't know that those guys are actually available, though. So it's going to be, you're more likely going to be wading in the waters of a Kirk Cousins, of a Derek Carr, of a Justin Fields. Somebody, they have flaws. They're not perfect, but, you know, you can maybe win with them if you build the right offense around them.
We're on the phone right now with Zach Rosenblatt, who covers the Jets for The Athletic. I am completely against them using that 7 overall pick on a quarterback. You know, even if Shedeur Sanders falls, I just think there's so much talent at multiple positions, whether they want to go corner, whether they want to go O-line, D-line, or even tight end. What are your thoughts, and where do you think this new regime is leaning with that 7 overall pick if it's not a quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, with the quarterback, I mean, it depends on if they value whether it's Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. If they view them as a franchise quarterback, then if you feel that way, you absolutely go and get them. But if not, you know, it's the cliche of best player available, but I think they have the ability to do that. They do have a lot of talent on this team still, I believe, but on almost every spot that has like the top 10 talent in this draft, you could argue they could use a player like that, whether it's, you know, an offensive tackle, they could use a right tackle right now, whether it's a corner, DJ Reed's probably leaving, defensive line, you can never have enough defensive linemen. They could use a defensive tackle next to Quinnen or, you know, get an edge rusher and you really have a rotation with Jermaine and Will McDonald and so a wide receiver even, like, you know, Devontae's probably not coming back, and so the cupboard is a little bare once you go outside of Garrett Wilson. So I think they can pretty much go in any of these directions, and it's a good draft class for those positions because I think they'll get somebody at one of those spots at number 7 who can contribute right away.
Yeah, my next question for you is about some of the guys that are here. You mentioned Quinnen Williams, and he hit Twitter and kind of expressed his displeasure. It's not great. That's more same old Jets. If anything, we've seen that type of stuff before, and I would expect they've probably already been in touch with him about that. There's some rumors that Garrett Wilson will want out, you know, not to start over with a new offensive coordinator, new quarterback. He'll want to seek a trade. I think Sauce Gardner has expressed that he's excited. What else do you know about any of the players' reactions to this new regime and this news that Aaron Rodgers will not be the quarterback?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think when Aaron Glenn was hired, they were all pretty excited about it, especially defensive guys. I don't know what Garrett Wilson feels. I think he's kind of laid pretty low. To his credit, he hasn't really reacted emotionally, which I think Quinnen Williams did. The Aaron Rodgers thing, it seems like some of these guys were surprised by it. I don't really know why you'd be surprised by it, just based on all the context and everything that's transpired. He clearly was popular in that locker room, at least amongst certain guys. And, you know, I would say to the Quinnen thing, like, I hope one of Aaron Glenn's initiatives is to get these guys to stop tweeting because it does nothing for this team and but provide a distraction. I think a lot of guys have had some issues with that. So if you can get them to stop tweeting, I think he'd be in good shape. But yeah, I mean, I think we're going to see as this offseason plays out, how these guys feel, what the Jets do, how that impacts everything. I mean, a lot of these guys are looking at a coaching staff that's relatively inexperienced outside of like a Steve Wilks. And so, you know, how excited are they about that? But there are a lot of former players on the staff too. So it's just going to be interesting to see how these guys react to the new regime, to the new culture and the things that Aaron Glenn is trying to establish.
Last one for you. I've never been to New Orleans, never been to the Superdome. You were just down there for the Super Bowl. Can you share with us one thing that you learned or something, maybe some food you tried or something you learned about the city, something that you experienced being down there for the Super Bowl that you weren't aware of before?
I mean, I've been to New Orleans many times, so I wouldn't say I learned anything necessarily new, but I would just say in terms of, I mean, number one, it's the best food city in the NFL, in my opinion, and probably one of the best in America. The food down there is just absolutely phenomenal. The Cajun food can get pretty exotic. I love a good like gator sausage. I love a little crawfish. You can get turtle soup if you go to the right place. Got some fun stuff. But I just think it's the best host city possible, frankly, in terms of the location of it. Yeah, everything's walkable. There's not a bad restaurant in the town. And, you know, I mean, like the airport setup's not like the most ideal, but you deal with that when you leave kind of thing. And it's just set up in a way that everything is pretty centrally located. It's not a huge city, but they have a lot of hotels. And I just think the culture there is so cool. And I hope they host it there again pretty frequently or at least sooner than later.
Yeah, I think I heard some complaints, just people comparing Vegas, who had their first one, to this year in New Orleans, I think they're obviously a huge contrast and difference, and you can't really expect, you know, Vegas and New Orleans to be the same. But did you make it to Radio Row at all? Did you see the setup around Radio Row? From what I read an article in Barrett Media and just things that I saw, Radio Row now has become like mini television sets, and everything now is video and streaming dynamic, and everyone's kind of sitting in, you know, chairs and couches and on microphones. It's not like it used to be with just terrestrial radio and, you know, different cities popping in and no video component and just kind of like, you know, streaming back home.
Yeah, I'd say it definitely is more dominated by like those large extravagant sets. Like Pat McAfee basically brought his whole set there, and Kay Adams had this huge thing, and Yahoo Sports had like a big Toyota truck there, and even The Athletic had one for their podcast. It was, that part of it was definitely cool. But yeah, it definitely has, I mean, there definitely still was like local radio shows. I went on a couple of them that are still like scattered throughout, but it seems like it's gotten more and more big in terms of, you know, these companies spending a lot of money to have really, really cool sets to bring these professional athletes and actors and celebrities on.
Zach, you're the man. Keep doing your thing. You've come on my show a bunch of times. I appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Yeah, you too, man. Always great talking with you, Keith.
888-808-1019 in here watching the Knicks game. It's 56-50 Knicks over the Pacers. We still have Giants fans that want to talk Eli Manning and the Giants, so we can get back to that. But it's also now open for reaction to any of the Jets conversation around Aaron Rodgers that I just had with Zach Rosenblatt. I'll also sprinkle in a couple more things as Aaron Glenn's coaching staff is set, and I'm very interested to see how they approach the draft and the offseason and some moves and stuff that they'll be making to try and improve this team. And again, you know, change the people on the team so that they can really create their own vibe and culture and move forward the next, you know, few years of Aaron Glenn being the head coach of the Jets.